Michigan's Upper Peninsula is my home and Escanaba is my hometown. I'm Craig Warple. Hometown Escanaba connects with the people, activities, and newsmakers of Escanaba and the UP. Join us for more interviews at hometownescanaba.com. Now, let's find out what's going on. Joining us this morning is Bay President Narita Hughes. Thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again.
You have the Lieutenant Governor, Garland Gilchrist, that's going to be at the campus here in Escanaba today.
I do. I'm excited about that. He is going to be visiting. He will be meeting with a couple of students that are currently a part of the Michigan Reconnect program, and we'll give him a tour. And of course, he knows I'm probably going to bring up housing.
Which we'll get to in just a minute. He's there to talk about free tuition for high school students.
Absolutely. So as we know, Governor Whitmer just recently, you know, released that information in her state of the state address. And then also on the, I believe it was the 7th, which was last week, that's when the budget was really kind of talked about and the operations with the college increasing ongoing support 2.5%, which is really good. But of course, I'm sure some of us, other colleagues like myself, are looking at how will this really match out. And the reason why I say that is because our revenue is comprised of three, you know, think of it as a third, a pie, but not necessarily evenly distributed. So you have state appropriations, you have property tax, and then you also have your tuition and fees. And so it'll be interesting to see what impact that this will have. And granted, it's just for high school students, so hopefully the impact will be minimal, but it'll also, you know, open up for us to really, you know, kind of recruit, retain, and have people complete.
What I would worry about, if I were you,
sure.
would be the commitment to the future, because
yes.
often they'll come into something like this with good intentions, and then the funding will disappear.
Absolutely. And that is another piece that's definitely on my radar. How long will this last? Is this, you know, for a few years, or is this, you know, something that's, you know, infinity, you know, right? It's going to be ongoing. This is
but
just
But then
really
you'll
the
have
movement.
To come up with a cost.
Absolutely.
Online.
We will have yeah. to figure out a cost. The other factor, you know, that I believe myself and my other, you know, presidential colleagues are probably not necessarily talking about is will that impact the current student population? You know, will we have to increase tuition, you know, tuition and fees? And I'm hoping not, you know, necessarily to do that, just to kind of offset, because you're talking about a population that's coming in from high school. But if you look at university, where high school population, it's declining. Mm-hmm. And so that's a little bit, you know, concerning, too, when you're looking at across the landscape. You know, you're noticing that the population for high school graduates is declining. But yet now we're offering free tuition, you know, for them as well, which is it doesn't mean it's a double edged sword. What it just means is that we have to think differently of, you know, who our target audience is. And then how do we make sure that we're appeasing to all audiences in reference to tuition and fees.
You also have some school districts in the area who have that fifth year of high school and some that do not.
Absolutely. And I think that that's going to hopefully, you know, have an added advantage of why people would, why not just go ahead and continue on and finish up, you know, your degree, even with doing that fifth year.
Which is a free program.
It's a free program in
by
itself.
By going through 5 years and then being
Absolutely.
Done with college. So would that negate that program?
I don't think it will. I honestly don't think it will, because that is not something that everybody takes advantage of. And there are some students that I know that probably have graduated, you know, from high school and then make the decision to say, now I want to come back. And so, you know, I think it's just more of an added value, if anything, for that program to continue, and then also with the free tuition.
All right. So just to be clear, you are or maybe apprehensively on board with this? Or
I absolutely am on board. Okay. I am on board with this. It is really exciting. It really is. I know other states have moved towards this. And so it was just a matter of time, you know, for our state to kind of move towards this process as well.
All right. So he'll be there this afternoon to talk with students and talk about that program. One of the things you want to talk with him about, and it certainly has been an issue at Bay for quite
yes.
a while, and was one of those that you highlighted right away when you took the position here this past year, and that is housing. You have a lot of students who are actually staying in hotels, which is not ideal.
No, it is not ideal at all. We have overflow in the Super 8. And I've had people ask, well, you know, what's the future plans? If you all can't get the, you know, housing development built, then, you know, are there alternative plans? And of course, you know, ideally, you know, would it make sense for us to look at, you know, some of the hotels and kind of have conversations with them? Do we take one of those over and, you know, and kind of do some renovations and make that more of a student housing perspective? Do we look at, you know, and this was brought up actually by Congressman Jackman when I met with him last week in D.C. And he said, have you thought about container homes? You know, so that's another, you know, idea is, you know, how can we get creative when we know that one, our student housing is low and it's a first come, first serve. So it's not like we can really save and set aside. And I've had people ask me, is your housing specifically for athletes? No, it's not. It's a first come, first serve basis. Do we try to, you know, make sure if we have athletes that are coming from out of state to ensure their housing? We try to, but it, again, it's not a guarantee. And so looking at, you know, the growth that I've projected, which is a 3 to 5% growth measure over the course of the next 3 years, looking at that, we're probably going to get more people that are coming, you know, not necessarily from the UP. There may be some that are going to be coming from downstate. There's some that are going to be coming from out of state. I know we do have a lot of Minnesotans that, you know, that go to Bay, people from Wisconsin, people from Iowa. So we need to be able to, you know, have that student housing to be able to house those students that have an interest in Bay and not necessarily say, well, yeah, we want you to come here, but good luck with trying to find somewhere to live.
I'm pretty sure that the housing that's currently there has been there since the beginning of Bay College in the 1960s.
Yes.
And that was, of course, a situation where you were basically dealing with people who already lived in the community. So it was just to be able to handle those few people.
Sure.
Who either weren't from here.
Yes.
Or didn't have housing. So now, especially since sports programs went into play,
right,
you're attracting, because of sports,
we
people
are
from other areas, which, as you said, good luck with
yes.
housing.
Yes. And that's, you know, that's the worst thing. I always, you know, correlate it back to, you know, I have three adult children, but all three of them went to school and they went to college out of state. They did not stay in Minnesota. And so I think back to if I was told, you know, yes, we have housing for you, and then later get a letter to say, oh, I'm sorry, you're actually going to be in overflow. I mean, that's a little alarming, you know, especially when you think about a freshman. This may be their first time leaving home, not knowing, you know, anyone, you're not understanding how college operates and looking forward to what I would say the camaraderie that comes with college. And then you end up in a hotel. You know, that's not ideal, although some students will say, hey, I like it because the beds are bigger. But ideally, we don't want to have them, you know, have their college experience as such.
And that dorm concept of college, too, I think is a part of that experience
it,
that at
absolutely.
Least freshmen need to.
Yes, absolutely it is.
To do. Some are ready to get out right away and some stay with it
right,
their whole careers. So you're looking to borrow, what, about 4.7, I think
yeah,
I saw.
Yeah, the cost, because of course at the time when the analysis was done, and actually the cost is a little bit higher even, you know,
for the total project.
Yeah, for the total project,
something.
It's probably up to about 6.8 is
okay.
The total project. So which means our borrowing capacity is probably going to be increased a little bit more. We have estimated about, you know, 4.7, but I think we're probably going to be a little bit higher due to the influx of the new pricing structure right now.
What will you be asking the Lieutenant Governor then?
So one of the things is, how are they supporting the UP? What I have learned in the short amount of time that I've been here is the UP is often forgotten about. Lots of programs, lots of opportunities for downstate, but not necessarily understanding, you know, what the needs are up here as well. But really, you know, correlating to the same, you know, low income, poverty stricken in some areas, is the same thing that we have up here is the same thing that they have downstate. But then how do we look at, you know, more from a financial capacity? You know, what can we re-look at the formula, you know, so that we have an opportunity? We don't have the same accessibility as downstate, where you have easy transportation, where you can get around, you know, very easily. You don't have necessarily, you know, when I think of the city life, so to speak, that's not really, you know, something that's really here. And so we have to kind of, you know, in some ways, how do we compensate for that, right? So how do we make sure that the same living that folks get downstate, we can somewhat have that here, you know, up here in the UP. And then the other facet to that is, you know, with property taxes as being, you know, one of our areas that how we get our revenue. Well, guess what? There's a lot of trees here.
Yes, there
and,
are.
And there's a thing that we say.
A lot of government trees.
Yeah, a
here
lot of government
too.
Trees. So trees do not pay taxes. So mm-hmm. that also puts kind of a dagger into, you know, how do we look at the full yeah. fledged formula?
And I don't know. I'm sure you know, but our property values, at least in Delta County, have not increased. In fact, for quite a few years, just recently, they were pretty much stagnant.
Right.
Now, we had a 3% increase this past year, but that's still very, very low.
It is. It is. And so I think we really have to look at creative ways of how we support, you know, the schools that are here in the UP so that they're, you know, I'm not asking for the equal opportunity, if you will, but there has to be some equity in how, you know, state appropriations are aligned and how we're looking at, you know, the opportunity that exists at Bay, where we really do have a lot of manufacturing that's up here. So can we be that, you know, supplier, if you will, to the demand that our employers have? And so the more that we can, from a financial perspective, the more and more that we can have our allocations and the more that we can have that support, then the greater the programs that we can build out. And then it also helps us just to expand even more.
If I remember correctly, in January, you had your board retreat where you'd often talk about the goals and upcoming projects.
Yes.
I know that last time we talked about your report after
Absolutely.
Your 100 days.
Absolutely.
But did anything new or directional come out of that retreat?
Yeah. What we're doing right now is we're currently in the midst of our strategic planning, you know, process. So that was one thing that my predecessor, Dr. Coleman, said, I'm going to leave that for the new president. And I appreciate that because right now we're looking at what are those future goals for Bay? What are we looking at from a monetary perspective, from a student perspective, from a community perspective. And then I would say the final aspect is, you know, what's our business and industry partnerships looking like? And so one of the things that we have really, you know, honed in on, and I've kind of talked about this, I talked about it in my inauguration, I've talked about it, you know, in the board retreat, is, you know, really focusing in on how do we hone in on that student success, but how do we hone in on academic and workforce partnerships? And then that final pillar is really that workplace environment and workplace engagement. And that's really how do we make sure that we're providing professional development internally. So that was I'm not going to say it was an eye opener, but that was something that was not necessarily done as often. And so even looking for the board, you know, how do we make sure that the board has the professional development that they need to grow and sustain, you know, and mesh together to understand, you know, what's going on at Bay, but looking at it from a strategic lens. So that's really what I did is I elevated, you know, the conversation from a strategic perspective versus, you know, just kind of coming in and just, yep, we approve this, we approve that. But it's really understanding where Bay is going, what, you know, pieces that we need to kind of continue that grow. It's that, you know, start, stop, and continue that I talked about. And so I think as we look at, you know, some of the facets that we're investing in, so the strategic planning is one aspect of it. We're finishing up, if you will, this week, a technology needs assessment. I mean, so these are simple things that people would say, well, yeah, of course you need to do that. But if they haven't been done, then that kind of stagnates you to understand where you need to go.
You've already started the process with your staff.
You had
some meetings there. You are also in the process now of taking public input.
Yes, I am taking public input. So there actually will be a community session that our facilitator will be doing. So we hired somebody from outside of the college to come in and facilitate our strategic planning. And of course, I should know the date off the top of my head. I believe it's April 19th,
okay.
where we're asking community, and it will be virtual.
Are you doing something online too?
So it will be online. Yes, so it will
be. No, I mean, are you doing a survey online too, or
so there is a community. Yes, there is a community survey online, which is separate from the strategic planning.
Okay.
But yes, so if people have gotten that survey, please fill it out. It only helps us to understand, you know, what our brand and value proposition is, but it also helps us understand, you know, how do we reside in the community? You know, so what is the reputation that Bay has, and then are there some changes that we need to be thinking about making?
To bring the two identities of
sure.
Bay West and Bay College together, there's now some new names.
Yes.
So ignore what I just said.
Absolutely.
And they're going to be called.
So we will officially call the two campuses. The campus over here where I'm at, it will be Bay College, and we'll refer to as the Escanaba campus, and then the college in Iron Mountain will officially be named Bay College Iron Mountain Campus. And it was really the, you know, business banking idea. Again, my first 100 days, I heard that loud and clear, the differentiation between Maine and West, and them feeling that disconnect. And why do we call it Maine and West? And I said, well, why don't we call it, you know, by where the city it resides in? And so we will officially, you know, it was approved yesterday to officially change the name. Bay West Advisory Board will now be Iron Mountain Advisory Board. And we'll continue to refer to those two campuses because it really does get to my mantra, which is one bay, multiple campuses.
Did the trustees have any discussion on it or?
No, they really had discussions during the presidential search, and they heard that loud and clear. So they said it absolutely aligns with what they were hearing when they did go out and talk to community, when they did go out and talk to, you know, the employees to kind of gauge, you know, the difference of the two names. And so that was one of the biggest things mm-hmm. that they said. They're feeling like they're the stepchild. And so right. how do we come together? So again, it really kind of brings in that mantra of the one bay.
Signage changes?
So there will be a signage change, and it was interesting because there was a sign that was already ordered for Iron Mountain Campus, and luckily I was able to stop it from saying West Campus, and so it literally will just say Bay College. Because actually when you look up, you know, Bay College, or if you say Bay West, it's actually a plastics company. So it's not the college, and so that's another reason why we want to make mm-hmm. sure that people understand it is Bay College, just multiple campuses.
Bay College, Iron Mountain, Bay College, Escanaba. One president, Narita Hughes, is president of Bay College. Yes. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. A special thanks to our sponsor, SwedishPimple.com. Check out all of the fishing lures made right here in the Upper Peninsula at SwedishPimple.com. You can continue to follow us at HometownEscanaba.com. We connect with the people, activities, and newsmakers from Escanaba and Michigan's Upper Peninsula.